FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is six times distilled till it's just right. And naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything. From the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys. Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
All right, let's go. Play Tessie, episode 260. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Really appreciate it. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. You can hit the thumbs up on all of our videos. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there. Literally just go up and down the list. Hit the thumbs up. We really appreciate it. And then find us on the socials, at Play Tessie, everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Here with Sammy. We're live from we're at Chase Field. We're at Chase Field in Arizona. Sox just took 1 out of 3 from the Diamondbacks. Definitely felt like this was an important one going into the third game. I mean, we had the vibes. Like, the first two games, pretty uncompetitive. But you go into the third, you've got Bayo on the mound, Ryan Nelson pitching pretty well coming into the game. You know it's going to be kind of a grind, and it was. Like, they were down multiple runs late. They got the job done. It wasn't necessarily pretty. A couple runs score on the error on the Wong at-bat. Like, kind of an ugly way to take the lead and then gave it right back. And then it was a really good inning with Nick Sogard driving in the couple of runs to take the lead. And you felt really good about that win at the end of the game. But it's pretty clear that this team is, I don't want to say running on fumes, but it's not whole. Like, it's very obvious that this team isn't whole right now. And it's going to be about getting wins any way you can get them, to make sure that you give yourself the best chance you got at getting that top wildcard spot. And if you can't get that, then make sure you're in the playoffs and in firm playoff position so that you can set yourself up in the last week of the season to get ideal pitching matchups in that first series.
Yeah, it's funny. After game two in Arizona, I saw on Twitter a few people saying 2011, 2011, and I don't want to invoke that team whatsoever. So this game three, we were speaking before the game, Gordo, and I said, I will take a win no matter how it comes. I'll take a 1-0 win where they score a run on an error and they don't have any offense, but they get the job done. I'll take a 15-14 win when the pitching is absolutely garbage, but they still get it done. And we got somewhere in between. Bayo was solid. The offense was so-so. The Diamondbacks helped the Red Sox out a little bit, but I will not complain. you get swept in this series heading into Oklahoma, your series against the A's, it is bad,
it's a different feeling.
It is very different, especially with the Yankees taking 2 out of 3 from Toronto, the Mariners winning 2 in a row against Atlanta. Those teams are starting to play a little bit better. They've got to find a way, and I kind of do think this team is running on fumes. You saw Whitlock had a nice 8th inning in Game 3, and he limps off the mound. That's not a good look. Justin Slayton hasn't looked like himself. There's some guys who are playing through stuff. Narvaez doesn't look like he's 100% still playing well.
Bregman.
Bregman,
I don't know.
Something's up with Bregman. It could be a slump. The defense looks fine.
He
so
did
maybe
hit
not.
The robbed homer. Like people are complaining about Bregman. I pumped the brakes a little bit. I thought he was coming around a little bit. I know today wasn't necessarily his best, but
right.
I think Bregman's coming around a little bit. I'd
right.
be patient there.
Yeah. He's cold though.
And he's Alex Bregman.
Yeah, he's Alex Bregman. He's cold though. Yeah, and he can come around. Trevor Story's been playing well. That's huge.
Looking really good.
But at this point in the season, you do not care how the wins come. It's only results that matter. It's not May where we're talking, Crochet pitched 8 innings and the offense just didn't click, so I'm not too upset about this loss. No. You got to win. I don't care how it happens.
Yeah.
Every win from here on out is massive. And this one today, Game 3 against the Diamondbacks, they lost the series. That stinks. But to not come away empty-handed feels pretty big.
Yeah. And you know, obviously, anytime you're at this point of the year and it's like, okay, you're three, four, five at a time games up on a playoff spot. You're chasing the top wildcard spot. Obviously, every game matters, and it's get wins any way you can. But especially with where this team is at, where every win you get positions you to potentially get closer and closer to a potential Roman Anthony return date, which, you know, you can look at this two ways. Is their pitching whole? Obviously not. Can your pitching get you through a postseason? I still think the answer is yes. Like right now, your pitching is better positioned for a playoff run than it is positioned to get to the finish line of the regular season.
Which sounds insane, but
yeah.
I totally agree.
It's totally weird.
You have your top three guys, Crochet, Giolito, Bayo, whatever order you want to put them. You feel at least good with all three of those guys on the mound in a playoff series. But the 4 and 5 is the big question mark. Dustin May has not been, I mean, he's sadly been kind of what you thought he'd be, which
yeah.
is not very effective. Peyton Tolley looked great to start his Red Sox career, had a stinker out here in Arizona. He's a 22-year-old kid who started this season in single A.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. But real quick, but the issue is you got to find a way to get through the games when your three reliable starters are not pitching, and you have to find a way to do that without completely torching the rest of your staff. So if you get a game where you throw Dustin May in there and he goes 3 innings and doesn't survive any longer than that, you're in big trouble, not just for that game, but for the following day and maybe even the day after.
Yeah.
So these little things add up, and this is the time of the year you really see that. But yes, anyway, totally Game 1.
Yeah, but first it's like the anti, like with Crochet with an ace. It's like when you have Crochet on Friday, you can use your bullpen aggressively on Thursday and you know it's going to be rested for Saturday.
Right.
It's the opposite when you've got one day, or in the Red Sox case, potentially 2 days in the rotation where you don't exactly know what you're going to get and you need to be prepared for it. And then you have to live with whatever you like. Because think today, Giolito didn't go super deep in the game in Game 2, and
no.
Game 1, Tolley didn't go deep in the game. And so in the seventh inning of today's game, you got to go to Zach Kelly. And maybe that's also maybe Cora should have had someone up before the comeback, and it kind of happened pretty quickly, and he went to Kelly. Maybe Matz could have been up there.
Took him a few batters to even get someone up after Kelly was in, too.
Yeah. But like, either which way, your bullpen today was not as fresh as it was, at least in the middle innings, as it could have been if you maybe are following a Crochet start. But let's get back to Tolley a little bit here, because has the incredible first start. Everyone's riding high. We talk about it on the radio for 3 hours the next day. It's totally nonstop.
Gushing over Peyton Tolley, as we should have been.
Yeah, he was incredible. And then comes out in this start. It was very clear. Diamondbacks were sitting fastball. First inning, it was really obvious. Second inning comes around, and he kind of – we talked about it during the game. It kind of felt like a little bit like a bit of an overcorrection, but either which way. Like, they're sitting fastball. Anytime he threw the fastball, like Ketel Marte blasted a 98-mile-an-hour fastball deep
into
the third deck of foul
territory.
Ketel
Marte had the most impressive foul ball I've ever seen in my life.
We've been talking about it all weekend.
He hit that into friggin' space. That had to have been a 450-foot foul ball. When you ever talk about a foul ball off of, what was it, 97, 98?
In a 12 or 13 pitch at bat, too.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, it was incredible. But yeah, the Diamondbacks and Bradfoe, I think, was the one who uncovered that they were using the traject machine to hit 100-mile-an-hour fastballs to prepare, knowing, seeing what they saw out of Tolley in his first start. He's throwing 85, 84% fastballs. Yeah. Okay, well, we're just going to sit fastball. And they did. Now it's going to be a question of, in the short term, can Tolley land his secondary pitches a little bit better than he did in this start? Because you can get through starts throwing your fastball at a high clip, but you got to be able to land some secondaries. I know his slider was better in the minors than it's looked in the majors thus far. Obviously, long term, I think we think he's going to develop these secondaries and be a really, really good starting pitcher. But taking that out of the equation right now, like, because obviously we're really high on Peyton Tolley long term. Short term, what do we think he's going to be down the stretch the rest of the way? What's the best way to use him if he's not going to be able to land? Because that curveball and the changeup, like, half of them were at, like, head level because he's just launching them. And it is his first pro year, so, like, we're going to cut him some slack. But the question is, what's the best role to use this guy in down the stretch?
Well, I don't like how they used him in the first game of his career. I thought that was why push a guy who hasn't been pushed like that in the biggest spot of his career, and it immediately backfired on them. So I don't think it's a time to, quote unquote, stretch him out. It's September, not really the time ever to do that.
First professional season.
Right. A little bit unbelievable that that even happened. But the way I would handle it is, for the game, if I'm Alex Cora, and thank God I'm not, but if I were Alex Cora, I'd say, give us 3 to 4 clean innings. That's all we need. 3 to 4 clean innings. We're not going to ask you to, if you can go 5, great. We're not going to ask you to go more than 5. But aim for 3 to 4. Aim, like, keep the bar low. This kid's 22 years old, was in single A a few months ago. I think he's going to be a great pitcher. I believe in him fully. But right now, you can't push this kid too much. And I think he got off to a good start. I know he's got a 7.5 BRA right now. People are going to mock, oh, he's gotten off to a great start. He's a talented kid. This stuff is undeniable. And like Robert Stock said on Twitter the other day, they can tell you your pitch looks like is this fast. It has this shape. It moves like this. Therefore,
released
it will
at
be
this point.
It'll be released at this point. You have this extension. Therefore, our stats say that it will be effective at the big league level. So we have that with the fastball. You kind of have that with the slider. I want him to use those two pitches like 85% of the time. He has the curveball now as a show me pitch. The cutter is a show me. The changeup is a show me. Mix those in. But I'd want him going 3 to 4 innings, focus on your best two pitches, and hone in on that. Don't ask him to do too much. Let him get comfortable like he was to start that first game and leave it at that.
Yeah, and we were talking about it on the field with some people before game two. Yeah, it was before game two about, you know, Tolley throws 74, 72, and then I think like 64 pitches in his 3 AAA starts. He didn't get up to this point in game two, but before the game, I forget whether Cora said it or it was reported or whatnot, but Tolley was expected to go 85 to 90 pitches.
Yeah, and you know what you said, Gordo? You said that's just what they do.
Which is
weird.
And
you're right, but it's like...
It's weird.
It seems to me like there is a disconnect between what's happening in AAA and what's happening in the big leagues.
And there has been for a while now, and not just with starters, with relievers too. Like, they'll have guys going multi-innings in AAA, and then the starters, they'll get... They'll pitch once a week, and that's kind of why you're in this position with Tolley, where he can't pitch on normal rest.
Right.
But
so
the pitch count now is increasing for him, and now maybe it's not. Cora kind of alluding that maybe he's going to be available out of the bullpen Wednesday. Maybe they're going off of that.
I would love to hear the thought process behind why they kept him in for so long in that first game. But he's had another start since then, so we can move on from that. But I think what you got to do with Tolley is give him a low bar, not because he can't exceed it, but because it's attainable and it's realistic. You don't want to push this kid and not hurt him down the stretch, but, you know, leave a bad taste in his mouth to hit into the offseason or into the playoffs. Just handle him like you would any other smart organization. And not to say the Red Sox aren't a smart organization. It's just that sometimes they do these things where we're like, yeah, this is just what they do. But there's no way to answer why they do it. Why decide to push Tolley further than he's ever been in his first big league start? Why decide to do that? It's just, we expected it, but we can't explain it, and nobody can.
Do me a favor, Sammy, on your phone, can you check if the WooSox ended up playing today? Because they said that maybe Tolley will be available out of the pen on Wednesday. I think the key to getting to the finish line this season, and this has nothing to do with the playoffs, but maybe it could help you strategize for a potential game four when you've used your first three guys. The key here is one of Dustin May and, in my opinion, Kyle Harrison.
Yeah, they played.
They played. Did Kyle Harrison pitch?
They are playing as we record.
Check, see if you can find the...
Actually, they played 2 games, in fact. Double header.
See if you can figure out if Kyle Harrison pitched. You can go to, like, the minor league, if you have the app, or if you don't, then you can go to, like, the minor league website or something. But I don't... Regardless of whether or not Kyle Harrison ended up pitching today, I've heard there's a good chance that he is the one that makes that start on Wednesday. So, to me, you need to figure out a way to get one of Kyle Harrison and Dustin May locked in as a starting pitcher so that Peyton Tolley can be a piggyback guy off of whichever one maybe isn't quite as good.
Also, Connelly Early. We haven't really talked about him.
Yeah, another option.
Connelly Early is an option. Tyler Uberstein's an option. Neither super sexy at this point.
And neither on the 40 man.
Right. So, you know.
You'll have to maneuver some things.
You might have to get rid of Ali Sanchez again.
That's true. You could take Ali Sanchez off
the 40. And the Mets will pick him up. Red Sox give him more cash. Get him back.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. I'm looking now. Yeah, but that's kind of what.
Either which way.
You got to find a guy to eat. And think about how hard Alex Cora's job is right now. He's got to find a way to manage the innings and win the games. It's not like early in the season where you're managing the innings looking long term. If we lose the game, that
yeah,
stinks.
No, it's the opposite now.
You got to keep these guys healthy for the long term. Now you got to do both at once. Cora's job right now is the hardest it's going to get.
You got to win ball games.
You could argue his job right now is harder than it would be if they make the playoffs.
What do you mean?
Like managing this team in September is
it's
more
harder
difficult
than managing it in October.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, maybe, because the pitching decisions kind of make themselves. Like, in October, to me, the equation is simple. Like, you've got Crochet, Bayo, Giolito as your first three-game starters. And game four, it's going to be ride the hot hand for whoever starts it and have a quick hook to go to the bullpen, and the bullpen's going to have to do their job, and they're going to have to pitch a lot of innings. That's the equation. Yeah. He didn't pitch?
No.
Okay. I mean, the original plan I thought I heard was that he was going to throw a couple innings.
He might. I mean, the game is we're recording right after the game, and it's ongoing, so it's TBD.
He could get in, and even if he doesn't, like, I don't know. Like, we'll see. But either which way, I think there's a good chance that he makes that start Wednesday, and maybe there's a quick hook, maybe Tolley goes. I don't know.
What's your expectation? And that's another tough thing. Same thing with Early, is if you have Tolley piggybacking one of these guys, it's not perfect because they're all lefties. You might have to just bite the bullet on that one and be like, this isn't perfect, but, you know, we got to cover these innings somehow.
There's a chance that maybe the reason they want Tolley available on Wednesday is they may want to line up so that your big three dudes are the dudes that go against the Yankees.
Yeah.
Right? If they go to Tolley, because after Tolley in this series, they went Giolito, Bayo, and now Crochet is going to get the first start against the A's.
I mean, think about this season. Every time we record a podcast, we can tell you who's coming up next, who's pitching next. There might be a chance that it's this guy, might be a chance that it's that guy. Right now, we're like,
yeah, it's
we
all
don't
over
know
the place.
We don't
and
know.
You like feel for guys like Dustin May, who it's like, okay, this turn through, you're coming in to pitch three innings in a mop-up situation. Next, you're going to be in line to start a game against an offense that's played pretty well in the A's. And it's like, you now need to win this game for us.
The A's, by the way, maybe the most underrated offense in baseball.
Yeah,
they got Nick Kurtz, Jacob Wilson, Bangaliers, Soderstrom, Rooker, Lawrence Butler in a tiny minor league ballpark. They're not a good team because their defense and pitching is bad, but the lineup is scary, especially there where it's the dimensions are tiny, the ball flies out of there. That is a tough, tough, tough assignment, and you're going to see them again in a few weeks, so they're going to get used to you. Not easy, not an easy series.
Yeah, and all while trying to line up your pitching for a Yankee series, make sure that you enter. And I know they get a day off, but still, like, you want to enter that fresh. Like, they can be aggressive with the bullpen on Thursday, but you're not going to push dudes.
Yeah.
Like, Whitlock's not going an inning in 2/3, and that's if Whitlock's even healthy. Like,
you might have lost Whitlock in game 3, too. He limped off the field after that play at first base.
I don't have the phone on me to get the notifications. The beat writers, are all in the clubhouse right now. I don't know if it's being asked or not, but
I mean, Alex Speer had a comment saying that there is a lower body thing with Whitlock.
But, like, did it get worse? Because, obviously he wants to pitch through it, but it's like, are you good moving forward? I don't know.
I do think it's fair to say this team is kind of sort of running on fumes.
A little bit.
We haven't even talked about Garrett Crochet, who for the first time all season were a little bit like, back-to-back. Not terrible, but not. I mean, the start against Cleveland statistically was very bad. But he pitched well for the first four and a half innings, and then it just fell apart. So how do you, as a pitching coach, I think, okay, we got four good innings, one awful one. How do you grade that?
And now he's got the extra day of rest, too, going into the next start, which looked like it helped Bayo, not necessarily with Giolito, but it makes a big difference.
So a lot on the line. I mean, this is why I get annoyed when people are like, what is Alex Cora doing? What is he doing? Listen to all the stuff he has to consider right now. Yeah. It's like he's playing chess every single day, and he has to hope his guys perform. He can make all the right moves, and it might not matter.
Yeah.
Tough spot. Tough spot, but glad that we're in this spot where we're talking about meaningful baseball. This is the first time we've ever had the opportunity to talk meaningful baseball this late into the season since we started the show. So I'm not complaining, but I am complaining.
Yeah, like last year at this time, maybe let's say like beginning of September last year, we were selling ourselves on maybe the illusion of contention. It was somewhere between that and like actually kind of being in it. But you were on the outside looking in, hanging on by an absolute thread. Like right now,
you were the Diamondbacks. Like the Diamondbacks are right now. Like
you're exactly
four and a half, five out. You're alive technically, but you're
like if
you're
you go really on a hot streak, you can make it.
Yeah, like the Rays kind of had a hot streak, then they cooled off.
This is different. This is different. Like you are several games up on a playoff spot. You're trying to figure out what is the right amount to push guys to potentially get yourself a home playoff game or maybe even win the division. Not like you can't necessarily rule it out.
Toronto lost today. Got a game on them.
Yeah.
But you got to beat the Yankees.
But then, of course, you have the other way around. Like, if they enter the last week of the season and you're a game.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Out of the final or of the first wild card spot, and you can potentially go for it by pitching Crochet like in the second to last game of the year. But now if you do that, he's not going to be lined up for the game one of the wild card series. You know, like so much is going to go into decision making in that week. And to me, I don't know, like it's going to depend on how many games back you are, everything else, but I would strongly urge them to prepare Crochet to be fully rested. Maybe even with that extra rest day going into a game one of a playoff series. I'd rather that than be home and Crochet pitches game two on 4 days rest. Like
a lot of big decisions coming up. A lot of big decisions. But I love this. This is fun. Yeah. As much as I'm complaining about this, and that, little things with the team, this is what we live for. I was sweating game three today here in Arizona. It's a dry heat, though.
It's a dry heat. We've said that maybe 100 times this week.
Yeah, I need people to never say that again. It's like 96 degrees here. People are like, well, it's a
dry
heat.
It's
so hot. It's a dry heat. Thank God the
stadium is indoors.
Yeah. Hey, you want to move to Nuff said? I want to talk about the stadium.
Let's talk a little offense first.
Let's hit the offense first. I'm dying to talk about this ballpark, but all right, go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, we keep talking about getting to the point where Roman Anthony comes back. First, you got to get to the point where Willy Abreu comes back. And, you know, at first he gets hurt. It's, you know, he's going to miss the two games with Baltimore, and then he's going to be back for the Yankee series. Like, we're over 2 weeks since that Yankee – we're now 2 weeks since that Yankee series ended. So about 2.5 weeks since he was supposed to be back. Obviously, the calf injury is worse than they thought, but now he's started to run.
There's nobody I trust less than the Red Sox when telling you a timeline for an injury. Yeah, right field for the Red Sox is a major issue right now. Obviously, you don't have Roman Anthony. You don't have William Abreu.
Offensively and defensively.
Yeah, and I was about to say, you might have lost Ref Snyder today. We're not 100%
sure. Oh, yeah, we don't know what happened there either.
He got taken out of the game for Romy against the righty, which is a little strange, maybe. I mean, Romy's been hitting righties a little better lately, but it happened right after Ref Snyder dove for a ball in the outfield.
Apologies if this is like completely debunked and like Ref Snyder's fine. We have no updates after game. Yeah. We haven't seen any.
It's a live react, basically. So yeah, it's a lot of things to consider. But right field, especially against right-handed pitching, like who do you go to? It's either Nate Eaton or Rob Refsnyder. Eaton, you got the speed and a little bit better defense. Refsnyder, I guess you could say, is a little bit of a better bat. You don't feel
He's a better bat against righties than Eaton.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
But, like, you see it offensively, not just, you know, you think about that, like, who's the alternative to that, but, like, you see how shallow the lineup gets. And then you see it on defense, too. Like, Refsnyder made a good effort and tried to make a diving play on, I think it was the ball that made it a 3-1 at the time ball game.
Yeah, yeah,
and
he tried to
dive. That
was
a ball, to me, that Willy Abreu certainly has and Roman Anthony almost certainly has.
Yeah, I'm, like, 75% sure they both get to that ball. You feel a lot better about it. And, you know, Refsnyder's,
take it for granted. Like, yeah, he's the right field defense this year has been so good for multiple guys. You think it's, like, a given, but it's not.
Yeah. It's tough. That's the spot I'm looking at right now. Right field, I mean, center field, you got Sedan or Duran can fill in. Left field, you're fine. It's right field. That's the big concern right now. And the shortness of the lineup, like, I like Yoshida leading off. When they signed him initially, I said he should lead off.
Yeah, that was interesting that they went there this series.
We didn't talk about it for 3 years because he said, I'm not comfortable, which, you know, at the time he had the right to do. He's coming over, big signing, a guy who was lighting it up in Japan. But now, years later, he hasn't been who we thought he was, so you got to do what helps the team. Then you have Bregman in his usual two spot. You have some combination of Lowe, Story, Romy, I guess, fifth. And then after that,
it
falls off big time.
It's tough.
And you know, like, it's not that Sedan, guys like him, or, you know, the Narv, it's not like they haven't been good this year. It's just they're not guys you want to be relying on in big spots. And I say that, you know, right after Narvaez had a big hit today, a big pinch hit at bat. But still, the point remains, that's not... it's not a spot you want to be in with those guys.
And the truth is, like, yes, the offense is going to be shallow till Willie gets back. And then even when Willie gets back, yeah, you're missing your best player. And you have to go back and ask yourself, how did we...
That was very definitive of you.
Yeah, Roman's their best player right now. Yeah.
I'm with you.
He's been their best player for multiple months.
21-year-old rookie with, like, a few months of experience. What a friggin' monster.
I never use the word special talent. I never use it. But with him, He is that, and you're missing it. Special but you got to go back and ask yourself, how did we get through a 10-game win streak after they traded Devers with Bregman injured? Obviously, Roman Anthony was a big part of that, but the truth is, I mean, yes, you were playing subpar competition, but you had really, really good starting pitching, and you had offense from a guy who isn't necessarily that guy. Seidon Rafael at the time was one of the top 5 to 10 hitters in baseball in that stretch.
He was hitting third for you.
Yeah, like, that was crazy.
Sedan Rafael was hitting in the three hole for the Red Sox for, you know,
and
not
deservedly
that long.
So.
Yeah, and nobody questioned it.
Like, but now you need, with Roman Anthony out, you need someone to step into that, oh my God, this guy's, and it can't be Alex Bregman. It can't be Trevor. Like, those, Bregman and Story need to be guys that are hitting regardless. Mm. You need a guy in addition to those guys. And maybe it's Nathaniel Lowe. Maybe Seidon Rafael finds it again.
Yeah.
Maybe face some lefties and Romy starts. I mean, Romy hit righties today too. Like, maybe it's him. He got really hot at 1.2.
Romy's been, like, better against righties than lefties for 2 weeks now, which is, I don't know if that's good or bad, but, you know, you take what you can get.
But in any case, like, to get to the finish line here and give yourself a chance at getting that number one seed, which the number one wild card spot, which should be the goal. And maybe people still want the division. I still want the division. But, like, a realistic goal here is getting that top wild card spot. And the only way to do it is going to be if someone steps up and overperforms what they've done this year, surprises us, clutch hits. And
I'm looking at Yoshida, man.
Yeah, Yoshida's
He's been
a
disappointment
candidate.
For 3 years. He's in a spot right now where he can, you know, a little bit redeem himself. He's in the leadoff spot now. He's been, game three, I mean, he got robbed two times. Two rockets back of the pitcher. One hit the pitcher, and they threw him out. One was caught. So, and then the game two, he had the only RBI hit. So, he's been okay in that spot. Only two games, so I like it, though. I like the idea, but that's who I'm looking at right now. You got to step up. And I also, by the way, totally forgot to mention Jaren Duran, who's also hammering the ball right now.
Oh, he's crushing the ball right at guys all series. Unbelievable.
So, apologies for forgetting him. But, yeah, Yoshida's the one I'm looking at to step up. He's the guy. This is the spot. This is what he's wanted. This is what everyone's wanted, a spot where he can be the guy. Here you go, Masataka. Go. Run with it. And I'm medium lukewarm confidence that he can do it.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is there's a bunch of guys on this team who have done it for spots, but You know, I don't know if it's been as needed as it is right now.
Yeah. By the way, Yoshida was...
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wearing a Pokemon shirt two days in a row, that's got to be a good sign.
Yeah, but it'll be a race to the finish line here. They're going to have to figure out how to – it's like get through it offensively, get through it with the pitching, get through it with the bullpen if Whitlock is hurt, figure it out with Slayton. They're piecing it together. But come the postseason, I do feel good about it, especially pending a Roman Anthony return at some point. But
I'm waiting so long to just see that tweet, like, Roman progressing fast. But then again, like I said, I never trust the Red Sox, so I'll believe it when I see it.
God, how no, I'm not even, I'll put it into the existence.
Put it into the existence.
I'll put it into the
existence. I don't believe in jinxes. Come on.
How awful would it be if it's like Roman Anthony is super, super, super close and they think he's going to be ready at some point early in the ALDS and then they lose in the wild card round? How awful would that be?
That would suck. That would be the lack of closure that I'm terrified of not getting.
We talked about that, yeah. All right, you want to do some Nuff Said?
Yes, okay.
All right, geez, go ahead.
Sorry, I tried to jump in Nuff Said like 20 minutes into the pod. I'm so excited to talk about this. This ballpark, Chase Field, a lot of interesting ballparks around the league. This one's got to be one of the coolest. First of all, the best part about this place, and Gordo will agree, I'm 100% sure, Arizona is hot as hell. But you walk in here and you get blasted by air conditioning
right away,
right off the rip. It is the best feeling in the world. Air conditioned ballpark. For me, it's my first time I've ever been inside a domed ballpark. Like, I've been to Seattle, but I've never been there when the roof is up. So this is really cool. We got to go in the pool. Well, we got to dip our feet in the pool,
which was very cool, by the way. I've always wanted to come here to see the pool.
Yeah.
Never thought I would actually get to, you know, touch, like,
put
be
your
in the area.
In. You get to put your tootsies in the pool.
But this is what happens when you come with Bradfo, and Bradfo's got the in with the public relations guys, like, you know, the media relations guys.
And by the way, people are always like, is it a pool or is it a hot tub? They got both. They have a hot tub connected to the pool.
And the pool is the perfect temperature.
The pool's the perfect temperature. Shout out to whoever commented. They have a Diamondbacks logo. Some guy commented, I wouldn't go in the pool. There's a snake in there. And I was like, oh, my God, you must have children. So, place is great. We had the... What is it called? The Churro Dog, which
also
is
courtesy of Diamondbacks Media Relations. Shout out to Casey.
Casey's the man.
But that thing. Check out our food review of that.
Yeah.
It's on our socials.
Not for me.
I enjoyed it.
Way too sugary. What it is a churro that has a donut wrapped around it, and it's topped with I think it was whipped cream or whipped ice cream or something.
Whipped cream and ice cream.
And then caramel. And then there's also chocolate on the outside of the donut. So it's a complete mess. You get it on your hands. You get it all over your face. They say it's, 1,100 calories?
Lies.
I will bet everything I own that is not true. It's got to be closer to 4,000. So great experience here in Arizona. I wish the Red Sox had played a little better, but I digress. I encourage everyone to take a visit to Chase Field. Tons of fun. And it is turf. We have confirmed it is turf on the field, not grass, as of 2019.
I love traveling with the Red Sox. Like, I urge anyone who's a big fan and can afford to do it to try to find time to make a road trip to a ballpark you've wanted to see and do it when the Red Sox are there. Because, like, I want to see all these ballparks, but, like, if I'm going to another ballpark and it's like the Red Sox are playing somewhere else, my mind is going to be there with them a little bit. But if you're here with them, you get to experience the ballpark, you get to see everything, you get to have a good time, and you get to watch the Red Sox live at the same time.
Also, people in Arizona are so nice.
especially compared to Boston. I love our people in Boston, and, you know, grew up there and everything. Most of my family's from Boston, but man, people here are way nicer.
Super nice.
I don't know if I prefer it, but for a little bit,
yeah,
I like
we have character.
Yay, fucking
character.
Yeah, sucks, dude, sucks. But yeah, and also Diamondbacks fans, not super combative. There was one drunk kid yelling at a Red Sox fan. We were, Gordo and I were kind of eating popcorn, watching everything unfold. But then they shook hands after, and I was like, oh,
isn't that beautiful for the game of baseball? A friendly rivalry. Wow.
All right, my nuff said, we got to talk Phillies, lady.
Oh, check out our video about that, too. But yes,
check out the video. We didn't give our takes, though. We asked the public. We asked the Red Sox fans that are from Arizona, traveling to Arizona, whatever. We asked them for their takes. We didn't give our takes on the situation. If you haven't seen the video, what happened was Harrison Bader hits a home run ball. It lands in a seat or on the ground. A father runs over. He's the first one to get it. He grabs it, and he gives it to his 10, 11-year-old son. Very happy to get a ball. Very cool moment for the dad and his son. Then a lady runs over, Karen kind of lady, runs over, starts yelling at the guy like, hey, the ball landed closest to me, so it's mine.
She said, that ball is mine. That ball is mine. And she touched him. She touched him on the arm.
Yeah, she put her hands on him.
I think, you know, I'm not a legal expert. I think that's assault.
Technically.
You could make an argument. Yeah. You could make an argument.
The dad puts up a little bit of a fight to be like, listen, like, I got my hands on this ball. I gave it to my son. And she clearly is, like, she's very aggressive, moving quickly, like, probably can see the fire in his in her eyes.
Probably spit on him, I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hot breath.
So he kind of, like, he's like, you know what? Fine, go. Like, waves her off, go.
Take the ball. Just go.
Take the ball. And it was the Phillies and the Marlins both were super nice about it. Like, he got a little care package. He got to meet Harrison Bader, get some signed stuff. Like, made out way better than getting the home run ball.
The Marlins trolled the lady, too. Said, not under our roof.
So, like, in the end, everyone wins except for the lady who has since, I believe, been doxxed and fired from her job.
That's a rumor. I don't encourage people. She's already been embarrassed enough. I wouldn't dox her. That's a little far, but I'm sure somebody probably has, which is unfortunate. Not to stand
she's
up for
everywhere.
Her,
she's like the most hated woman in America right now.
She's getting rightfully cooked online, and I think that's a good place to stop.
Yeah, but in any case, we asked people about, like, oh, did you agree with what the dad did? Would you have handled it differently? A lot of people, like, talked about how they would have handled it differently, would have called security. To me, how I would have handled it is exactly how he handled it. I would have put up a little bit of a fight, but by the time it's obvious the lady's being aggressive, you got to set a good example for your kid. Obviously, the woman is setting a terrible example for your kid, but as a father, and I'm not a father, but as a father...
You have a dog?
I do have a dog, and I want to set a good example for him. You know?
For Chester.
I want him to be...
and his floppy ears.
Oh, I miss Chester.
See him soon.
Yeah, I will see him. Oh, we have a red eye tonight to go back. This will be a blast.
But yeah,
I would have handled it the same, but after talking to people, because when we talked about this before, I said I would have handled it just like he did. And granted, maybe he did this. I would have gone to security after she had the ball, and I would have said, listen, we had the ball. We got the ball first. Everyone in the crowd can attest to it. And she went and made a scene, and I didn't want to, you know, cause any potential issues in
front
of my son,
but it's on the broadcast. It's on the broadcast. Captured it, which is crazy that they got the full thing.
I think he handled it perfectly, though. Like, you can't be a prick in front of your kid. Like, your kid's, you know, you're a role model for your son. You can't be a prick. Like, you can't shove the, like, a lot, shove the, like, no, you can't do that. There's a line to be drawn for what you can do in front of your son, and he drew it in probably the perfect place.
Yeah, you want to set a good example. Some things are not worth, you know, escalating. It's better to de-escalate in a situation like that. It's a baseball. I thought the dad set a good example. I think the people who are like, I would have smacked her in the face, dude. You don't get in front of me like that. I think you're nuts. Then you're the bad guy. Then you don't get the experience with Harrison Bader. You don't get the ball, and you don't get the care package from the Marlins or the Phillies, whoever gave them that.
Probably get thrown out of the ballpark.
You probably get tossed out, and then your son is now, you know, your impressionable young son is now learning that you can solve things with violence. Should always be the very, very last resort, in my opinion. So I agree with how the dad handled it. I thought he set a great example. He's getting praised, for the most part, rightfully so.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think of the security component. We had a off-duty security guard talking to us about this, and he was saying, he's like, oh, he should have just called security. Like, they could have handled it. But you're in the moment. You're not really thinking, like, oh, I'm going to get someone to intervene. Like, I thought the dad handled it. I thought the dad was funny. The little hand thing, the, ooh, what are you doing kind of thing. And nobody looks worse than that lady. And she's, like I said, getting absolutely fried online for it. And seems like justice has been served. by Major League Baseball. Ain't no party like a baseball party.
That's the quote of the great Flo Rida, which how have we gone this far in this podcast without mentioning that Flo Rida was here?
Bonus Nuff said, after the first game of the
series,
the Red Sox lose. Gordo and I were a little sad. And then quickly, the mood changed because Flo Rida did a pretty big concert on the field.
Long. Like, it wasn't like two songs.
It was he did a legit set. Like, he played all the hits, too. Seeing Lowe in person was really cool. The song Lowe, not Nathaniel Lowe, even though he's great, too. Mm-hmm. Really cool. Flava Flav showed up. And we spoke to the Diamondbacks PR people the next day, and they were like, that was the best concert we've ever had post-game. It was unbelievable. And Flo Rida also comes out looking like he was, like, dipped in olive oil. He was so shiny and had to have put, like, grease or something.
Nah, he's just grinding.
Nobody's that shiny. We spoke to the MC who did the entertainment here in ballpark.
They were like, he was definitely greased up or something. Listen,
he was glistening.
Nobody grinds like Flo Rida, all right? That's why he's here.
He looks great.
For
45, he looks outstanding. So, credit to him.
Wonderful.
He stays in shape.
Wonderful.
And the concert was fun, too. Like, I genuinely liked it. And, you know, we weren't in the crowd up front, but we were up high watching. It was cool. It was a nice little bonus. It helped us get over the loss in game one.
Yeah.
Game two, not so lucky. We just sat there and sulked.
Oh, yeah. Game two was not fun. At least game one, they, like, made a fight.
Yeah.
They fought a little bit. Game two was just, ugh.
That was pain.
Game three is the best one.
Yeah, because the Red Sox won, and I prefer when the Red Sox win.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for episode 260. Do I got that right, 260?
Come on. It sounds right.
260 of Playtessie. We appreciate you guys tuning into this one. We'll be back. We're going to have, schedule for this week.
Yes.
Because of the late game in Sacramento. So we got this episode dropping on Monday. You're listening maybe on drop day, maybe later. We're going to have another episode. Usually we drop Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This time around, it's going to be Monday, Thursday, Friday. So Thursday, we'll recap the series with the A's. Friday, we'll do a little bit more of a series prep with the Yankees. It's going to be a huge series, so we're going to dedicate a whole episode to that.
It doesn't get much bigger in the regular season than this upcoming Yankees series.
Yeah.
I don't like the Yankees.
No. But, yeah, thank you guys for tuning in to episode 260. Remember to rate 5 stars, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on WEI's page. You can hit the thumbs up on all the videos. Find them in the Playtessie playlist there. And yeah, socials, at Playtessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Joe producing, Pat will be back next time. It's going down for real. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.